There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's look at the news today, and we're going to start with Hanan Marafi, who joins us from the ARN News Centre. Nice to see you.
Hello.
You are covering a story on the new law that means volunteers are now going to need a special licence. So what do we need to know about the new rules?
Well, as we know, there is a new law which is going to regulate voluntary work in Dubai, and it's going to be overseen by the Community Development Authority, the CDA, who says this is going to come into force in Dubai in the next 10 days. I've been speaking to Hannah Al-Harthi, the Director of Social Cohesion at the authority, and she told me residents will have 6 months to register from the issuance of the new law. And this includes both organisation individuals and volunteer teams. And I also asked her the CDA's role in this, and Al-Harthi told me that they will be establishing a database, giving out volunteering IDs, as well as adopting agreements between volunteers and organisations, and they are going to be responsible as well for any permits for individuals, which includes specialised volunteers. I asked her whether there was an issue before, and if not, why the new rules have been introduced.
We've been working on volunteerism for quite a bit of a time, but there were no major issues in regard of that. But we are trying to bring volunteerism into a very professional level by which ensuring that both parties are benefiting without any harm on any of them. And we are talking about protecting the volunteer themselves and the beneficiary as well.
That was Hannah Al-Harthi, the Director of Social Cohesion at the CDA, telling us why the new rules have been introduced.
Okay, Hanan, so how much will this licence cost and what kind of time frame are we looking at for it?
Well, the CDA has confirmed that the new licence will be free of charge, so obviously that's great news. Mm. Hannah Al-Harthi, who is the Director of Social Cohesion at the CDA, told me you can literally go online and sign up for a licence now. And basically, you should get a call back instantly and then receive your ID in a day. So this process should be very quick. I was also told you only need identification to register for this. But if you're looking for a specialised permit, that's going to be a different process and that is going to be announced at a later date. So this is her telling us more about how it works and how long it takes.
Today you can log in into CDA and register as a volunteer. Organization and volunteer has been doing it so far over the last 2 years on our portal. And all they have to do is enter their information and they're going to get a call back or confirmity from the system itself. It's the specialized volunteerism that's going to have a certain permit. And this is going to be announced on due time. To register as a volunteer, it happened on spot. For companies, it takes one working day to have the permit to start publishing their opportunities, volunteering opportunities, that is.
So that was the CDA's Director of Social Cohesion, Hannah Al-Harthi, telling us how the process works.
And that was ARN's Hanan Marafi here talking about volunteering. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in. Danny Norton's here as well. And this is a story that's directly affected one of our colleagues, mm-hmm. I have to say, Danny. It is one of the stories you're looking at today. A number of families in the Emirates have been told containers carrying their goods were damaged in a cargo shipping crash near Karachi. We've heard quite a lot about this within these walls, perhaps not so much on air. So let's start with the background.
Okay, so yeah, the crash that you mentioned involved the Tolton vessel operated by the German company Hapag-Lloyd, and this was en route from Dubai to the UK, and the ship collided with another cargo vessel near to Karachi in Pakistan. It had containers on it carrying items from people here in the UAE, including our very own Steph Bergen and someone else who used to work here at Dubai Eye 103.8, Jennifer Gibson, as well. Though both Steph and Jen are unfortunately among those who've been affected. I know Steph mentioned her experience on the ticket earlier on. Well, I spoke to Jennifer, who's just moved back to the UK after living in the UAE for 7 years. And speaking to her earlier on, she said that she sent the items back on the ship, essentially the kind of whole life in a way, with the aim of having it back there before they move there. But unfortunately, the crash has put paid to that one. She talked me through what's happened so far. So she was told that she got a notification that the stuff was her stuff was on the boat that was involved in the crash. She got that notification about 3 weeks ago. They were initially told that it was highly unlikely it was going to affect their container because the explanation given was that it would have been held in a low part of the vessel, in the middle of the vessel, so not by the edges because it was going to be one of the last things off as well, and typically where personal items are held. But then 2 weeks later, she got an email saying that the container had been held in port due to damage, but that the damage would be unlikely to be major. However, yesterday she received another email saying the container had been so significantly damaged that it's clear that some goods have been lost overboard. Of what's left, apparently 50% are damaged beyond use, but essentially she doesn't know yet, and nor will Steph either, exactly what they've been left with as well. There's like five families sharing their particular container and they've got no idea at the moment on whose items are damaged. And speaking to Jen earlier on, she told me that the not knowing is one of the most difficult things at the moment.
At this stage, we don't know how much of our stuff is damaged, and we won't know until it now gets to the UK, clears customs, gets to their warehouse. So we're now looking at it taking probably into June before we even know if we've got anything salvageable and before we can start an insurance claim to cover the things that aren't getting there. And in the meantime, there are things we simply can't live without that we will have to replace at cost to ourselves. It's just a nightmare. And I'm trying to get my head around how you explain to a four-year-old child that all of their worldly possessions are lost in one fell swoop.
I mean, it's really difficult listening to that, Danny, because you know, okay, we can all turn around and say material possessions don't mean anything if you're healthy, you're happy, but they mean a lot. It's something you've gathered over time. So I guess on a practical level, you think of insurance. Will the people involved have insurance? Will they be insured? How will they be sort of compensated in this case?
Okay, so when it comes to the insurance, from speaking to Steph and speaking to Jennifer, the way it works is that they need to get their own personal insurance. I think it was part of the deal agreed beforehand, both with the actual shipping companies and the vessel company itself as well. But like you say there, and like kind of Jennifer's already alluded to, in a sense, you know, you can get, you know, insurance that will cover most items, but to be honest, it's plain, quite simple, that there are many goods that are just irreplaceable.
Exactly.
We'd been in Dubai for 7 years. Our son was born there. All of his baby things, quilts that were made for him by members of the family that are no longer around, my grandparents' wedding photos, which are obviously not digital and can't be replaced. I had my grandparents' wedding crockery that was handed down to me, that was on my shipping. Photographs of my husband's late parents, our wedding DVD. You just keep going over and over in your head the things that can't be replaced. At the end of the day, a toaster, a kettle, a TV, it's annoying, but you get the insurance money, you buy new ones, but you can't replace sentimental items, and there's no value that you can put on them. It's just beggars belief that they would be lost in such a way. It just doesn't, I don't think it's something that we ever even thought was possible.
So a very sad situation for Jennifer, for Steph, and for the other people who've been involved in it as well. And it's going to take a little bit of time for them to find out exactly what kind of damage has been done, and for them to sort out the insurance as well. I have also, by the way, attempted to contact Habeg Lloyd, the vessel company, but had no response from them so far. I did speak to one of the moving companies involved, DASA, and they say that they've been keeping every one of their customers informed with whatever information has been available to them from Habeg Lloyd, but they are treating the incident with the utmost confidentiality, and they are keeping clients updated with any further developments.
Danny Norton from the ARA News Centre. Appreciate that, Danny. Thanks for the update.
Thanks.
Good to talk to you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.